Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Today's hard times are nothing like those Israel faced under the heel of the Pharaoh of Egypt. The people were brutally oppressed as slaves. The lessons they learned might help us face the stress of a modern era when hope again is fading. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer resumes his series on When Life is Hard. He takes us now to Exodus chapter 1 as we learn about finding God in a tight place.
Well, life is hard. Going to begin with a story of a friend of mine who does not attend Moody Church and who gave me permission to share his story, just so that you know what he is currently going through. He's had two employment opportunities in the past in the business world, and in each instance, promises that were made to him were not fulfilled. He tried to recoup what belonged to him in court, but he was ruled against recouping any of what he deserved. He's been without a job for about a year and a half or two, I suspect, and so his house is in foreclosure. He's going through a divorce. In fact, this past week he was in court over the divorce, which he hopes will be finalized. His wife is divorcing him. In the middle of this, one of his children has a serious addiction problem. Life is hard. You're probably wondering how he's doing, and I'll tell you how he's doing at the end of the message. But first of all, I want to remind you that no matter what you are going through, you could stay here tonight and you could tell me your story, and I would know this, that somebody else somewhere has a worse story to tell, number one. And number two, somebody went through your trial and was totally successful. You are not alone in what you endure. This morning on my computer, there was an email regarding a student in one of our universities here in the United States who committed suicide because of sexual abuse that occurred in his youth. The darkness and the depression. If you are going through that, let me tell you that there is help. There are people who care. Whatever you do, don't choose the suicide route, but continue to believe and to connect with others who can pull you through those dark times, because somebody somewhere went through what you've gone through, and they've made it successfully. Well, today in the second of this message series entitled When Life is Hard, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at a few passages in Exodus, but you can certainly turn to Exodus chapter 2, but I'm going to begin in Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, and I want us to see how life was hard in those days for the children of Israel. I'm going to just pick it up simply in the middle of verse 14 of chapter 1. Speaking of the Egyptians, it says, "And they made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick, and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." So first of all, you have slavery. You also, though, have attempted genocide. Because you'll notice that the king of Egypt said that the midwives were to kill all male infants that were born. They were to be thrown into the Nile River. Surely some of the midwives carried this out. Some didn't, because that's the way Moses escaped. But you can see this. And by the way, the word genocide was coined to explain and describe what happened to the Armenians when the Turks invaded their country in 1915. Do you know that things were so bad that I was reading that when women were on their way to a death camp, some of them took their babies on the train, and as they were crossing a river, a bridge on a river, they took their babies and threw them out into the water, wanting them to drown rather than go through what they knew awaited them at the other end. Life is hard. So here you have slavery, you have genocide, and then as if that wasn't enough, Moses eventually goes to the king and says, please let my people go, and the king of Egypt is angry about it. And you know what he does now? He says in chapter 5, verse 5, Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens. The same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, you shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose upon them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle. Now just think, slavery, working morning till night, being beaten, the text says that they were sometimes beaten, and now suddenly you're told that you have to even gather your own straw and make the same quota of bricks. And one burden is laid upon another. Tragedies oftentimes come in pairs. And may I ask you today, what is the straw that you are asked to gather? What is that last straw that seems to break your back, the last thing in a series of hard times? Whatever it is, the children of Israel were forced to endure it. They had no opportunity for unions, no opportunity to redress their wrongs, no opportunity to argue that they should be paid more. They were locked into a terrible system, and there they were. Times were hard. Last time I mentioned to you that James MacDonald has a book entitled When Life is Hard. I've not read it. I understand that it is very good, but there is a booklet that I did read. It is entitled Red Sea Rules. The idea is that there are rules that you follow when you cross the Red Sea, by a man by the name of Robert Morgan. It's a little booklet, and I found it helpful, and I have to say that some of the ideas that I'll share with you today are actually inspired, at least, by that book. But what I'd like to do now is to give you a 5-point program that you and I must follow when times are hard so that we can get through life and the hard times successfully. Are you ready for the 5-point program that is going to help us? If life isn't hard now, believe me, it will eventually become hard, because all of us go through those deserts that we spoke about last time. First of all, number one, you are where you are by divine appointment. You are where you are by divine appointment. Let me ask you the question, who was it that led the Israelites into Egypt? It was God. Who kept them there? It was God. Who hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he might impose more laws and more strictures upon the people and demand from them more work? It was God. God told Moses in advance, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's not going to let you go. He's going to make things worse. It was all of God. You are where you are today by God's will and purpose. You say, but Pastor Lutzer, it's my fault. I mean, I did things that I should not have done. And so they were there because they had no choice. I had a choice, and I made a series of bad choices. A couple of things. First of all, if you deeply repent and turn from those bad choices, not only will God forgive you, but then you're going to have to experience what could be called self-forgiveness, and you need to realize that at that moment, God has you exactly where he wants you. You are where you are by divine appointment. And God knows exactly where you are. He knows the speed of the wind and the height of the waves. He knows the longitude and the latitude of your little boat. He knows every single slat on that boat, every frame of it. And he knows exactly and sees you. And today you are where you are by divine appointment. Andrew Murray, man from another era, was going through a very excruciating time. And he wrote these words, first of all, he brought me here. It is by his will that I am in this strait place. In that I will rest. Next, he will keep me here in his love and give me grace to behave as his child. Then he will make the trial a blessing, teach me some lessons he intends me to learn, working in me the grace that he intends to bestow. And in his good time, he can bring me out again, how and when he knows. So in summary, I'm here by God's appointment, in his keeping, under his training, for his time. You are where you are, exactly where God wants you. Second, I think it's important for us to realize that you must believe a divine promise. Now is the time that you cleave to the promises of God. Now let's see how this works out. In chapter 6, God reveals to Moses that he's going to deliver his people. Your Bibles are open to chapter 6, and it says in verse 6, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery and redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment." So Moses is supposed to tell the people about the promise that God made. So that's what Moses does in verse 9. He spoke thus to the people of Israel, but you know what? I should read it this way. Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and they said, "Oh, that's wonderful. Now we can go to work tomorrow with a great deal of encouragement and hope, because we know that God is on our side. We know that he's going to deliver us, and we're going to accept this gladly as God's will." Verse 9, Moses spoke to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. They were cynical about this. And I believe that probably listening to me today, there are some of you who fit that category exactly. You're going through a time that is so hard. God seems so far away. The miracle that you have been expecting has not come year after year after year, something like Moses in the desert for 40 years. And you say to yourself, what good are the promises? Where are they when I need them? Well, as this message progresses, it is my intention to help you to believe and to trust again. I'm struck by the fact that the Bible says that the spirits of the people were so broken they could not hear the words of Moses. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and today I am reaching out to those of you who are so broken that you really can't hear God's word. God is speaking to you. Of course, he speaks in many different ways, especially through his word, through the preached word. God is trying to get your attention. Could I just encourage you one more time to look to him, to believe in him, when even it seems as if there might not be a good reason to do so? Your faith will be precious to him.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Finding God in a Tight Place, the second of two messages on what to do when life is hard. Next time, more on the promises of God we need to hang on to. When Life is Hard is a brief series we're making available on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.